Turn with me to John chapter 8. If someone were to meet you for the first time and ask, "Tell me about yourself," what would you say? Most men are likely to speak of their work, what they do. Most women are likely to speak of their relationships. But is either what you do or who you're related to who you really are? Sometimes people are spoken of as needing to take time to find themselves, when in reality, everyone needs to know who they are, especially those of us who claim to know Christ as our Savior. Do you know your identity in Christ? What is your identity? Are you really who you say you are? We're going to look at this passage in John where Jesus deals with those who claim to believe. But he's going to deal with them about who they really are. Who are you? John chapter 8, verse 31 is where we're going to start. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son does remain forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my father, therefore you also do the things which you heard from your father." Who are you? Maintain your identity in continuing in the message of Jesus to you. Abide in God's word, all of the Bible. The Bible is not a shopping center where you get to pick and choose. You either believe all of what God said, or I would suggest to you that you believe none of what God said. Abide in his word. Jesus has been teaching the people, and his challenge to them, to all who claim to believe in him, is to be consistent in him. Abide in me. Continue in his word. Remain in it. Abide in his word, Jesus said. As one commentator said, it is a settled determination to live in the word of Christ and by it, and so entails a perpetual listening to it, reflection on it, holding fast to it, carrying out its bidding. It's not a one-and-done kind of deal. It's to abide in God's word. Hold fast to it. Carry out what it says. And the verb abide is something that you have to do. But it's not a one-time event. And I think that's where we struggle with it, the idea of this idea of abiding in God's word. Well, I read the Bible 6 years ago. Isn't that enough? I don't know that if you read the Bible 6 minutes ago that that's enough. And so we need to learn to abide in him. So this abiding has been defined as maintaining a vital spiritual connection with Christ. Paul said to study to show yourself approved. The Psalms talks about hiding God's word in your heart, delighting in it, meditating on it day and night. Again, it's not a one-time event. It's a change of heart. But it's also a determination in how you choose to live your life to abide in his word. Abide in his word. If you continue in the message, you are then his disciple. One who accepts the instruction of his word and makes it the rule of the conduct of your life. So continue in the message of Jesus. It struck me as I studied this passage that we probably have done a humongously big disservice to people who when dealing with them, particularly when we deal with children, say, would you like to go to heaven? Well, who doesn't want to go to heaven? Well, you're a believer. When all we talk about is raising our hand, Jesus is talking about abiding in His Word. And it's not that you earn your salvation, but it's really that you prove that their heart change has been done. I struggled this week about what to preach on, what passage, how to go about it. And it was pretty obvious to me as I listened to first Jack talk about who Jesus is, then listening to Blake talking about what's really valuable, because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That evidently I did hear the Holy Spirit. Because what Jesus is saying to us is, if I am really valuable to you, I will continue in you. I will abide in you. I got to thinking about one of the better days of my life. Some years ago, we got all of our children off the payroll one by one. I remember when our oldest had come home from Iraq. Now, he had been at war for a year. And I don't know if he had the same look on his face the day that I sat him down and said, son, you're coming off the payroll.
No.
And so we called the insurance company that we dealt with and got his own policy. And he began to pay for it. Well, the state of South Carolina didn't get all that information. All they got was that we were taking him off of our insurance. But they have a state law there in South Carolina where you have to have continuing insurance. Well, in like fashion, proof that you have insurance, you need to have proof in your life that you are continuing in the message of Jesus. So what proof is there? Are you continuing in God's Word? What proof is there? Remember, life is seamless. Life is seamless. Because what you say about life in one area is true in another area. And if you say, well, I'm going to be like this here, but I'm going to be like that there, then I don't know which one to believe. Life is not different inside the fence. Just because you work around a bunch of people that use a certain kind of language doesn't mean that it's okay if you use that kind of language inside the fence, but not at home. Which one are you really? Which one are you really? It seems to me that someone be up with the times, repeating what the world says about the issues. They want to be progressive. They want to be with the times. Well, the Bible was written how long ago? Well, still true. Still true. So which are you really, which one really has your heart? What the world says or what God's Word says? What will you do to continue in God's Word? How much time will you give to it? How much time do you give to it? Well, maybe the question you need to ask yourself is how much time should you give to it? For some of you, the simple answer would be some. For others, for all of us, it should be more. More. More time in God's Word. We're starting Bible studies tonight. There are also Bible studies on Wednesday mornings, Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings. There's more than one opportunity for you to be in a Bible study. But are you going to? I was told one time that the precept studies was like rocket science. And I thought about that for a minute, and I finally realized that if by rocket science you mean that it's just something that you cannot understand, We have a rocket scientist in our family. One of the nephews-in-law is truly a rocket scientist. And he can say stuff that I don't understand. So if you're saying rocket science like that, then I cannot agree with you that the Bible, that any study is like rocket science. But if you want to say that it's rocket science and mean that it's hard, that it takes effort, that it means that you may have to give something else up, then yes, I would agree that it's rocket science. So are you willing to give it time? Are you willing to give it energy? Some of you may have read the newspaper this morning. It may have made you grin. It may have piqued your interest. It may have informed you. It may have troubled you. But do you remember what you read? Do you remember what you read? Did any of it inform you about how to live? What did you do last night from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock? Did that show, did that movie really help you to live? Now, I'm not saying that that's wrong, but there's always the right amount. Have you ever mixed something up, a food dish, something that you're making? A quarter cup of this, half cup of that, quarter cup of this, a half cup of that. And instead of a quarter cup, you put a quarter teaspoon or something. Or maybe it called for a quarter teaspoon and you put a quarter cup. I don't know. How do you think that would taste? Are we giving it what we should? None of the excuses hold water because you give time, energy, and attention to what you hold important. What did Blake say? What did the scripture Blake use say? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Continue in the message of Jesus. Who are you? Who are you? Your identity in Christ allows you to live in freedom. Only Jesus offers freedom. It's not so much the studying. Oh, I can say from memory the whole New Testament or some great thing. No, the truth of it is that Christ needs to change you. It is Jesus, that relationship with Him, that offers freedom. There are two realizations that I've made about this passage that he talks about there in verse 32. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You are not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you're a sinner. I look at my kids, I look at my grandkids, and I think, oh, poor guys. They've got my DNA. The burden. We all have somebody's DNA that was a sinner. The second realization is that because you are a sinner, you live in a state of bondage. I'm free. I get to go where I want. Well, in terms of what we do, I would pretty much agree with you. But if you're living with unconfessed sin, if you're living with sin that has not been forgiven, you are a slave to it. Because unless Jesus has set you free by abiding in His Word, that's the only way that freedom is going to come to you. And that's the only way that you're going to know the truth is by abiding in His Word. Not intellectually, but in living it out in experience. Truth is the unveiled reality beneath everything else. The essence of everything. And truth is non-negotiable. And truth is not relative. The truth about life. The truth about living. And the truth of yourself is non-negotiable. It is not relative. But knowing truth becomes liberating because it allows you to live in the redemption that Christ offers. And until you know the truth of Christ, you live in the bondage of sin. Your identity in Christ allows you to live in freedom. Some time back, a doctor by the name of Howard Kelly went for a walk, and while on the walk, became extremely thirsty. He was out in the country, and he sees this old farmhouse, and he goes up to it and says, "Do you have something that I could drink?" The little girl who answered the door said that she did, that he could have something, but that she would have to pump the water. She also offered him some milk. He took the milk, drank it, and went on his way. Some weeks later, Dr. Kelly was summoned to the operating room to perform emergency surgery on a little girl. Same little girl. Soon the bills began arriving at the parents' home. The hospitals, the doctors that they didn't even know that they had dealt with. And the parents were stunned at the amount of the bills. They thought, "We will never get this paid for." Until they began looking at the bills more closely and noticed at the bottom of each page, "Paid in full." The doctor had paid the bills. And so it is with you. If you know Christ, you live in the freedom of the truth that Jesus brings, because Jesus is the truth and has paid the debt. My dad is the first one that I ever heard say this. He said, "People tell a lie so often they begin to believe it and would rather lie than tell the truth. And if you tell one lie, you're going to have to tell a second lie to cover up for the first lie. And if you tell the second lie, you're going to have to tell the third lie." And that's kind of the way we live today. That's how our world is going. They're telling one lie to cover up another lie. Is that where you are? Are you living in a lie, or are you living in the truth? In your finances, in your marriage, in raising your children, in your sexual identity, all this, excuse me for using that term, sexual identity. We have so begun to lie to ourselves. Oh. Are you abiding in God's word? Are you allowing the truth of who He is to set you free? Has Jesus set you free? Live in the freedom Christ provides. Who are you? Who are you? A word of caution: living the old way never brings about freedom. Only Jesus offers eternal life. There is no exemption from slavery. "Oh, I'm not a slave. I can get away from that. I can do..." No, there is no getting away from the slavery that Jesus spoke of, because, and every one of us has felt it. The old way is about religion and you performing, but never freedom. The new way is about the life that Jesus offers, which brings about freedom. The people made the claim, "But we are descendants of Abraham and we've never been a slave to anyone." You know, they needed a history lesson. As if their forefathers had not been slaves in Egypt, as if Rome didn't have them at that point. The covenant, circumcision, the law was pointed to in their pride, but these people lived in bondage because they rejected Jesus and His word, even to the point that they wanted to kill Him. Remember the story of the rich young ruler that Jesus met? He asked Jesus how to have eternal life. He was no doubt a Jew, no doubt a descendant of Abraham. No doubt he was circumcised, no doubt he knew the law enough and kept the law. He kept everything that Jesus mentioned. Yet he did not know how to have eternal life. And Jesus said, "You need to give your money away." But he went away sad because he loved the old way of living more than he could love Jesus. And so he remained in the bondage of sin. This morning, what are you claiming? Are you claiming status? Maybe as an American? Are you claiming goodness because you point to somebody else and say, I'm better than they are? Do you claim performance because you made it to church? Or are you claiming Christ? Who are you? I joke, that's why I carry a wallet with my driver's license. But the truth of it is who I am is not about a name, it's not about a date of birth. It's about a relationship with the one who came to set me free. Do you have that relationship? Do you find your identity in Christ as a disciple, as a follower? Are you abiding in His Word? Some of you may need to come to know Christ. Well, I don't really understand. Would you come and let us talk to you some more? This morning, are you living in freedom? The freedom that Christ offers. Has the truth set you free?